Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every weekday evening, 6:30 and 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sundays, when I have the time and the schedule to include those shows on Saturday and Sunday. Tonight I'm going to talk about something very, very tricky, and something it's sort of a slander or a modern interpretation of biblical truth. The issue is that some people say the Bible is mythology and fairy tales and nonsense. I disagree, and I'll explain why in a few minutes on a reasonable and logical and factual basis. First of all, though, I'm going to say that this is a politically incorrect show. We're out for honest discernment and getting at critical thinking and getting at truth, and evading media lies and media falsehoods and political rhetoric. I'm also, the show is geared to my Christian beliefs, although I welcome all points of view on the show and all religions, and I'm willing to listen to anybody and everybody if they have something to say, which I'm sure they do. But I myself adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture and to the ancient creeds of the Church of the Apostles, Nicene and Athanasian Creed. And I am also, if I get a chance, I read the great Christian books of the past. These are the great thinkers for me. I'm not interested in the thinking of the New York Post or the New York Times. I don't think that's particularly helpful in any way. It's simply political rhetoric of a superficial character, which leads me nowhere in thinking and brings me nowhere in my life. This would be true of most modern organs, which is why the Bible is so important and Christian writers are so important. So the third thing is that I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. Both have many visitors from Muslim countries and from China, atheist agnostic China, and from Saudi Arabia, and many countries in Europe, United Kingdom, Finland, etc. And I welcome these visitors, and I'm happy to have them. Over 4,300 visitors have visited my podcast, as well as many have visited from Bangladesh, India, Finland, United Kingdom, Germany, Belgium, India, Bangladesh, Japan, Malaysia, and many other places visit these Blog Talk Radio show, as well as many from many countries visit my podcasts, which these both have a Christian orientation, but I welcome all points of view. The third thing is that I'm a writer. I write books. I have written 10 books, legal and religious and Christian, and 3 essays in the Christian worldview has had particularly wide national and international sales, as had essays in politics, faith, culture, and philosophy. And my book on the parables, as also I have posted my 41 interpretations of the parable on social media and my website, as well as I'm posting the sayings of Christ on my social media website, my interpretations of those sayings. I have 4 books planned on the miracles in the Bible. I've finished one, just completed one on the Psalms, and I'm shaping it up to submit to a publisher, and I'm hoping that these forthcoming books will be helpful and beneficial to the society, as I would hope. They bring some truth and light into a world increasingly caught in darkness because of the lack of true knowledge being conveyed in our educational and social system. I don't know what people are learning, but they're not learning anything very helpful. So that's as much as I can say about this. I have published an article in the Syracuse Law Review in Criminal Procedure, which has been bought by many European and American libraries and libraries in the Far East, and it's been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court, as well as my article on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, published an article on sex discrimination prejudice and sexual orientation prejudice. Obviously, I opposed it. I oppose any prejudice as a Christian or hate or hostility to any religious or any sort of group. And that was also bought by the State Department and many European and American libraries. And also, I've just published a another article in the Albanian Scientific Journal, Academicus on the American Educational System, which is gradually being looked at more carefully by a number of organs in the world. Tonight, as I say, I'm going to talk about the idea of the Bible being myths and fairy tales. Let me give you an example of what people might say in this respect. A few years ago, while I was in Holland enjoying a vacation, a taxi driver taking me from the airport to my hotel expressed the view that the Bible was so much childish nonsense, fairy tales, and myths. I didn't respond to the statement. And once again, two colleagues in my office where I worked a few years ago at different times said the same. I did not give my view and thinking to those persons that they were uninformed and incorrect. Frankly, I think they were ignorant in their statement, but that is what they thought. So this is one view which is expressed by many people who approach the Bible and its worldview and contents incorrectly. The Bible, to be understood and grasped as a document by anyone fully and completely, must be approached and understood as informing us of the supernatural in the world, of informing us of a three-tiered cosmos of heaven, the earth, and hell, much as John Milton and his wonderful epic Pope Paradise Lost so stirringly and beautifully described with such poetic excellence and beauty. You gather, as I said many times, John Milton and Paradise Lost are among my all-time favorite books. However, as I said, if we don't approach the Bible as a supernatural revelation without a grasp and understanding, you are not only not seeking to understand this most important and world-shaking book, but you're wasting your time and intellect on your approach. To understand any book, including the Bible, and it's very difficult for modern people to understand the Bible, but if you don't approach the Bible with the understanding that of its very importance and where the Bible presents the supernatural events of the world, you're wasting your time and intellect. Let me put it this way. To understand any book, including the Bible, you have to enter into the mind and intellectual perspective of the author and suspend any presuppositional thinking that will only serve to cloud and confuse and prejudice your understanding of the work. So to really understand the Bible, you have to enter into the mind and perspective of the writers of the Bible and suspend any presuppositions that will only serve to cloud and confuse and prejudice your understanding of the Bible. Mortimer J. Adler, in a wonderful book entitled How to Read a Book, said of the Bible that in the European tradition, there is no more important and significant book. Let me now give a little example of what I mean of the Bible being seen as fairy tales and nonsense and tales. Because I think the prominence of that indicates ignorance, because they've not come to understand the depth of thinking found in the Bible. Let's take a look at some passages, what I mean, which are far from fairy tales. In Genesis chapter 1, we're told God created humanity in its image, and in this image he created the male and female. So this passage that God created male and female in his image reveals to me, and has to reveal all who read it, that men and women are equal in the sight of God, and each bear the stamp of the divine image. One could say that far from being mythological or nonsense, that first chapter of Genesis is the original statement of women's rights and women's equality. And God leaves us no alternative in the interpretation of that passage written 3,000 years ago. He says he created them in his image with complete equality, each bearing the stamp of the divine image. This is the original statement of women's rights and women's equality. God leaves us no alternative in these verses. And I ask you, is that statement of women's rights, the original statement of women's rights and women's equality, written 3,000 years ago, is this a fairy tale and a myth, or does it have a depth of meaning that is obvious? This is no fairy tale or myth. This is a statement of human equality, male and female. And it is a statement, the original statement of women's rights and women's equality. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 3, the narrative of the fall, where Satan tells Eve that she will not be eating of the tree, but will become a god herself. She's tempted by Satan in the form of a serpent. This could be taken literally, or it could be taken as an actual event. It could be looked at either way. But God comes down to us in this story, stating to us significantly that the serpent, Satan, the form of Satan, appealed to Eve's pride, causing her downfall and bringing evil, sin, and wickedness and every sort of natural disaster in the world and bringing all humanity down to the present world. Is this a myth? I don't think so. This is a very profound and deep story of how this satanic being appealed to this woman's pride, saying she would be like a girl, she would be like a god. And that's the great failing of humanity: pride, self-importance, self-significance. And this story explains that, and how that particular event brought down humanity. This pride, appeal to the pride of evil, brought down humanity into evil, sin, and wickedness, bringing every sort of natural disaster in the world. Is this a myth? I don't think so. It's a very profound and deep event described, since it pinpoints the gross human failing we all share of our pride. I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, that the secular world and material world of our present society give no explanation for the prevalence of evil in this world. They may say it's poverty. They may say it's genetics. But that doesn't really explain anything, ladies and gentlemen, does it? That doesn't explain 6 genocides in the last century, including the Russian Revolution, Pol Pot, Darfur, Bosnia, Holocaust, Armenia, as well as the last 20 years of terrorism. This particular narrative in Genesis 3, where we're told that he appealed to her pride and brought down humanity to the low level it presently occupies, this is a very deep and profound story. It is not a myth and can't be seen as a myth. It's trying to explain how the world came to be what it is. It is God coming down to us, explain how the world came to be as it is. And the modern world says poverty and genetics, it's for the presence of evil and wickedness, but fails to give explanation for the genocides in the past century, whether Pol Pot, the Russian Revolution, Darfur, Bosnia, Holocaust, and Armenia. Is this mythology? Is this a fairy tale? It's explaining how evil came into the world? Oh, no. It's a very deep and telling statement of what God is trying to tell us, what happened and why things went wrong. And the reason was because of our pride. Let's take a look a little further at some of the parts of the Bible which certain modern people may say they are myths and fairy tales. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, the poor are blessed. The poor in spirit are blessed. And there's the kingdom of heaven. In Luke chapter 6, he says the poor are blessed. And there's the kingdom of God. Are these the words of a person who is a myth, who's making up a fanciful fairy tale? Are these statements of Jesus, the Son of God, in their originality, depth, and profundity, saying the poor in spirit and the poor will inherit the world? Are they statements in their originality, depth, and profundity? The words of some fool or lunatic spitting myths and entertaining stories? These words, just like the accusation made of Jesus, who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners, and his raising the moral law from murder, anger being murder, and to adultery, from actual adultery to thinking lust. He says these are the same. He raises the male bar, the moral bar, by these statements, and says to pray for those who persecute you, and love your enemies. He is raising the moral bar. Is this a person who is some sort of a lunatic spinning myths?
Hello?
So, is this are these the words of a fool or a lunatic spinning myths and entertaining stories? These are words which challenge the world and its thinking that dominates our Western society of materialism and money. These words are not coming from the mouths of Apollo, Zeus, Jupiter, or Hermes, but clearly have a deeper and more profound meaning and source. They are not simply the peccadilloes of a mythological figure. They are not the words of an Apollo, a Zeus, a Jupiter, or a Hermes. It cannot be seen that way. These words are very deep and deeply felt, and a great challenge to the world and the thinking of Western society, materialism, and goods and money. Jesus says that anger is equivalent to murder, killing, and killing lust is equal to adultery. He raises the moral bar, and he finds the true source of murder and adultery in anger and in lust. So here we have it. He commands us to love our enemies, not even to not swear, to turn the other cheek when stricken, and to resist evil, and to turn the other cheek when stricken, and commands us to love our enemies. He says anger, which leads to murder, is killing, and lust, which leads to adultery, is adultery. He says these are one and the same. He says not to swear falsely. It further tells us to resist evil, turn the other cheek when stricken, and commands us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I cite these sayings as an extension of the moral vision that Jesus commands us to follow. Again, I say these are the most deep and profound sayings. They are not coming from a mythological figure. Otherwise, they would not have their depth and thought attached to them. So, what about this business of the Bible being mythology? Obviously, it's not. There's this St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is the object, and there's neither Jew nor Greek. In Galatians 3:28, he says, neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you're one in Christ. 2,000 years ago, revealed his thinking of the primacy of love, 1 Corinthians 13, saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. So he states the primacy of love. And then he says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for they're all one in Christ. Both of these passages written by St. Paul reveal his thinking not to be that of a crank or a mythological figure or promoting a mythology or some fancy fairy tale, but they are inspired, deep thinking of a great genius who in his tragic end was beheaded by the Roman government. This man was a genius. He was no myth. And he was not promoting a mythology. So I make new comments before I end this essay that one can't reach a solution of the interpretation of the Bible by, say, crediting these moral sayings, which are obviously quite advanced, and saying the miraculous and supernatural they are attributed to Christ, or mythology and fairy tales. there is no way you could interpret these events in the Bible as mythology and fairy tales. These moral sayings, which are so deep and so advanced, they represent the sayings and thought of an extremely bright person. And the miracles attributed to Christ and the miraculous and supernatural, in light of what I just say, cannot be seen as mythology and fairy tales. When you say that, you are missing the point. We can't expose to be happy with the moral and philosophical vision of the Bible and leave it at that. But I think the biblical revelation and vision cannot be shaped to our modern fancy, and it's quite clear what I just say, the depth and profundity of these statements, that what is in the Bible is not mythology, it's not a fairy tale. It comes from the mind of God and is a revelation in history. That's about as much as I have to say today on the subject of the Bible being mythology. But I want to look at the Decalogue, the accusation the Bible consists of myths and mythology, where God commands people not to make graven image. Hello? As I say, the Bible is not myths and mythology, because God commands us not to make graven images, making clear that God is a spirit, not a stone idol, and that we are commanded also in the Decalogue not to covet an exclusively mental action and thought. So, again, the depth of thinking is in the Bible is not myths. It is not a fairy tale. In Exodus 20, we are commanded not to make graven images of God, making clear that the true God is a spirit and not a stone image. And moreover, we are commanded not to covet a completely mental action. These are two examples of the advanced moral vision present in the Bible, which is not a mythological statement or a myth. The statement that God is a spirit, not an image of stone, and condemning jealousy and covetousness and purely mental action, this is extremely advanced thinking and is not the product of a mythological statement. And finally, I want to point out in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 21, the Apostle Peter says, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty," meaning at the Transfiguration. He says we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, "for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were hid with him on that holy mountain." Peter is saying here, we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am very well pleased," we ourselves, Peter says, heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. But what is the Bible? It's not myths. It's deep and profound thoughts. It presents extremely advanced moral and theological thinking, number one, but more so, it is not a myth, it is not a mythology, it is a historical record of God's dealing with humanity. And if you haven't read the Bible and read those things I just mentioned, you will never know the depth and thinking involved in the words of the Bible. It is not mythology, it is not fairy tales, it's not any sort of tales. It is a historical revelation of God's actions and events and statements and sayings in history. Not mythology? No. Mythology is Jupiter and Apollo ranting around the earth, fooling with women and fooling with human beings. That is not the Bible. The Bible is what I just described, the thinking so profound and so deep that it is irreplaceable. And unless we know it, we will never know the depth of thinking it offers and the truth it offers. Not myths, not fairy tales, but historical events and statements of truth and the most profound moral vision you can find. That's as much as I have to say today. Hope you enjoyed this talk. I'll be talking again tomorrow a little bit about this. Bye.